Make sure you get one of the devotionals that Leanne just spoke about. Tuesday morning, we're going to start. Our theme for 2019 is Bible First Lifestyle. Why that theme? Well, because we need to recover the power of the Scripture in our lives. That's why. A recent poll, a survey done amongst Christians, revealed that only 16% of Christians include Bible reading in their daily routine. 16%. I hope Abundant Life's not that low. I'm thinking we're higher than that, but that number just shocked me. And it doesn't surprise me then to see the sway in our culture away from biblical values. The church is supposed to be the salt and light, amen? And if we're not digging into our scriptures and living a Bible-first lifestyle, our salt has become not salty anymore, and our light has become dim. GQ magazine came up with a list this last year of the 21 books you don't need to read. Guess which book was on that list of 21? Of course, I didn't know, surprise from GQ, but this resistance to the things of the Word of God. We have access to the Word of God. We attend church on a regular basis. Church, let me tell you, that's not enough. Access and attendance is not enough. There needs to be a hunger and a lifestyle of getting into the Word of God. That's why we're taking this year, and maybe more, we'll see, to focus on this theme. So grab your devotional, get it today. If you're, I like the hard copy. I like to touch it. I like to write in it. I like to, it's just me. And so, but if you like the online version, get it. But get this before you leave. Tuesday morning we start. It's a little different this year. In past years, we've taken January and had a special topical theme for that month. This year, we're not doing that. We're going to start from the beginning, and we're going to work through the entire scripture for the whole year. So if you'll stay on track, and there'll be reading plans available for you. I think they're already out there, right, Leanne? Not yet? Okay, they'll be out there for next week. You can start with the devotional, then you'll have them later. That by the end of the year, you'll have gone through the entire scripture, and we can do it together. Also, I'd like us to get just more used to bringing our Bibles to church. Bring your Bible to church. Now, you say, well, I do. I bring my phone to church every week, and my Bible's on my phone. If that's what you're doing, okay, fine. But can I just, let me make a pitch for old school. Can I do that? I want to make a pitch. This is why I like the leather and paper. Okay? There's nothing that feels like this. And you can't bang a phone like you can bang your Bible. When you're speaking, you can bang this thing, and it's got a good sound to it. Here's else. I like my Bible to be different than anything else. When I pick up my phone and I look at the scripture, it's the same screen, the same feel, the same looking words as every other app I look at. And it kind of, in my brain at least, it kind of blends in. This Word of God in its old school form is different than anything else. I don't have any other book that feels, looks, when I open it, there's nothing like it. And so it's separate. And I know that's personal preference. I'm not talking doctrine. It's just preference. But you kind of follow me? That there's just something about the Bible being holy, being separate, being different, and we need to be living the lifestyle and having this Word not be like every other app on our phone or every other book on our shelf. This is the living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword Word of God. And we need it in our lives, and we need to keep it holy. Follow it as holy. So I think it'd be kind of cool to go old school next year. Let's just come on. Are we going there, buddy? Okay, Mace. Come on, bro. Next week, we're going to come with our 10-pound Bibles under our arm. Big old thing. If you bring a little pocket knife, that's okay. Pull it out of your pocket. But let's get into practice, and we'll have our words with us every week. Amen. All right, for the young people that are rolling their eyes, just deal with it. It's kind of sassy today, huh? Yeah. It's kind of the last Sunday of the year. Let's get a little sassy. This morning, the past and coming year. If you have those Bibles in your hand or your app or whatever it is, turn to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. We're going to be looking at verse 4 to 12. And we're going to talk about the past and coming year. Very common message that happens the last Sunday of each year as we look back at the old and look forward to the new. Looking at 2018, has this been a crazy year or what? I don't remember a year as contentious and as just all over the place as this one has been in a long time. And I've been through now, let me see, this is my fifth decade. And this has been a particularly crazy year. Our political scene has been more contentious and polarizing than I can remember in a long time. There's been years that have been crazy too. But this one, with lots of different things going on, the Russian collusion investigation, trade wars, North and South Korea issues, and we can go on and on and on and on and on of all the issues, the midterm elections that rose our temperature, the up and down of the economy and so on. Supreme Court nomination process was one of the most wild that we've seen in a long time, maybe since the 90s when Clarence Thomas was brought onto the court. I don't know if there's been one since then. It's been as contentious and newsworthy and that polarized people, whether they were for or against his nomination. The Latin American refugee caravan is still happening right now with the government shutdown and the polarizing sides of what shall we do about the immigration issues at our border. And not only our country is going through these kind of things, but in France and in other countries with the yellow vest uprisings and people, there's just contentiousness all over the globe. It's almost as if it's like a pervasive spirit that's covered our planet and local, the tragedies of the Paradise Fire, some of our former members having suffered, two of our Assembly of God churches burned to the ground, and people wondering if that city will even be a city again and want to start over. There was some kind of sweet news. We had a royal wedding, a prince marrying a Hollywood starlet. And that caught some people's attention. And then Facebook is in trouble with Mark Zuckerberg. Whoops, there we go. He's in trouble too. But we'll talk about him in a minute. Whether or not, how it's happening with our social media. One of the weirdest things that happened to us this year, my wife and I were sitting poolside with our daughter and son-in-law and baby. We were having some fun. And he had his phone on the side of the pool. And we just happened to be talking about a certain product. We didn't look it up on the internet. We didn't search. We didn't do it. We just were talking in the vicinity of the phone. And he said when he picked up his phone then to look at his Facebook app, there were ads of the product that we had been talking about already on the phone. Those suckers were listening into our conversations. It was the weirdest feeling to think that you can't talk without these apps picking up on your conversation and then trying to market to you. It's very, very strange in the violation of privacy that we're in. Well, yeah, we're back to this poor guy. He used to be really funny. I suppose he's still got a sense of humor, but it's not so fun for him now, as the Lord says that be sure your sins will find you out. This gentleman's sins found him out too. And started a movement. And I'm glad for the movement, although I know that there's polls on how it's actually worked, but I'm glad when ladies have the opportunity to speak up and are no longer afraid of the power and the pressure of those that would keep them fearful. I'm not sure what to deal with all the more than 100 genders now that they say there are. I don't know about you, that confuses the daylights out of me, because I look out over this room and I'm pretty sure there's two. But I even have been filling out surveys lately, and now it's very, very common everywhere, just about every survey I fill out, male, female, fluid, or whatever it is there. Church, let me tell you this. When you violate God's creation, you violate God's image. Don't be confused. This is a satanic attack, without a doubt, to transform and to manipulate and to distort the image of God. As he said, he made male and female in his image, so that we reflect him. When you distort the image, you distort the real. And I don't know what this one next is all about. Maybe less important, but it's illegal that we use a straw in some counties. Okay. But the Red Sox won the World Series again. Not sure if you're so happy about that. But they did it, just proving that you can buy a championship whenever you want to. And that's the way that works. But the French won the World Cup. I like the French. So I was kind of happy that they won the World Cup, but that was exciting. One of the best Super Bowls I think I've seen maybe ever was when the Eagles toppled over the Patriots, those that evil empire. It was so good. And what was really cool about this is that the starting quarterback, who's a born-again Christian, got injured. The backup quarterback, who won the Super Bowl, was a born-again Christian. And the third string, who became the backup, was a born-again Christian. And the coach was a born-again Christian. And I just think God wanted the Eagles to win. That's just the way it is. How can you fight all of that in the deal? But so much fun to watch that game. There was an Olympics that went on this year. I'd completely forgotten that it even happened with this little chick, Chloe Kim. What a dynamic snowboarder. She, a little 18-year-old girl. And, of course, the Warriors won back-to-back championships in 2018. Notice that I didn't even bring up Bay Area baseball. No need to talk about Bay Area baseball in 2018. Although the A's did make the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs. They did. I won't talk about where the Giants ended up, but we'll just move on from there. I was going to talk about television a little bit, but I find out that I don't subscribe to any of the channels that all the, apparently the good shows are on. And when I find out what the good shows are, I find out that they're not so good. Unless you want to watch R plus rated TV shows. Still, well, I'm a Blue Bloods guy. I just have a man crush on Frank Reagan. I just do. Oh God, help me to be like Frank someday. If you don't watch Blue Bloods, just again, this is not Bible. You won't find it in Scripture, but The Gospel According to Pastor Greg, it's a good show. It's a good one. Movies this year, the year of remakes, and again, we brought back Halloween to scare us to death again. Brought back A Star Is Born, a remake of Dinosaurs Eating People with Jurassic World, remake of Mission Impossible 6, I guess. Remake of Rocky 43, I think, with Creed 2. Remake of another spinoff of Star Wars, Star Wars 486 with Solo. And then amidst all this kind of racial stuff in our country, we had the Black Klansman, Crazy Rich Asians, White Boy Rick, and the Black Panther all in our movies. And I just thought, this is kind of strange. Superheroes, Infinity Wars, Ant-Man and Wasp, Deadpool 2, Venom, The Incredibles. But the real superhero movie, I think, was I Can Only Imagine. When you look at heaven and you look at God and how he's going to come and that heaven is real. Some notable people that passed away this year. Just a few of many, many notable people. Paul Allen, one of the founders of Microsoft, one of the richest men in our nation, passed away. Kofi Annan, the former leader of our United Nations. Senator John McCain, one of our senators of note. The Bush couple, Barbara and George, passed away this year. And praise the Lord, the professing Christians. Burt Reynolds, not a profession Christian, but kind of a cool dude. But for those that are old school again, the Queen passed away this year, and we'll miss that music. And maybe the most dynamic is Billy Graham got to see his Savior finally, face to face. I wonder what that reunion was like. And you know, as I read the scripture in the book of Romans, it says that there are no favorites with God. And as I thought, man, when Billy showed up, it must have been a great party. And then I rethought the scripture. I thought, you know what? When the least person that no one ever knew but was faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that person got just as large a celebration as Billy did. Because every one of us is precious. We just have different roles and different tasks. Well, we had some great things happening in our church this year, too. A lot of outreach, a lot of time in the city of Cupertino, as we have more outreach this year than we've done in years past, and seeing some really, really fun and really cool connections with our community. Our eldership is now happening, and it's been functioning for almost a full year, and that's working fantastically and spreading the work and the authority of our body in a wonderful way. Our missions trip to Missouri was a fantastic time for those that were able to go and to touch another place for the gospel. Our two children's big days, our fall fun fest, saw over 400 people come onto the campus and hear about Jesus through print media and just to enjoy a good time. Our VBS week-long camp was fantastic, as close to 100 children were here every night for 5 nights, and just the gospel over and over and over again. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. We welcomed Pastor Sean as a pastor last week. It's still in 2018, so we can celebrate that. And he is now a credentialed minister. And probably the biggest news for us this year is that we are debt-free in 2018. And how cool to remember that. So many good things. When we look back at 2018, it's gone. This is the last Sunday. 2 more days of this year. And you start looking towards 2019, and there are the I'm going to do it different next year type of thoughts, and we use the word resolution, and we start making decisions. We start thinking about what to do different. But we also look back at how can we make a difference in the world the way it is. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 4 to 12, Isaiah the prophet spoke in times that were not too different than today. Maybe you could argue that they were worse than today. Well, they certainly were worse for the Jews, who had been taken captive by the Assyrians, had their land taken from them, were brought into slavery, and were overpowered. In that time, it was a godless time. It was a time when God was mocked and blasphemed, and the people had no hope because they were prisoners in a foreign land. Yet, God came on the scene, and through the prophet Isaiah, he spoke to them a word of hope. He spoke to them a word of the future, and he spoke to them a word about forgetting the past or learning from the past and moving forward. And that's the same word that I want to speak to you today. A word of the coming year, and a word about how to deal with the past year, and a word about how to deal with each day that comes upon us in the present. Let me read to you out of Isaiah chapter 52. Read along with me if you would. And not out loud, just follow along. So at first my people went down to Egypt to live, speaking of the times in the Exodus and Genesis. Lately, Assyria has oppressed them. And now what do I have here, declares the Lord? For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long, my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, in that day, they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings and proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs for joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm. I love that passage. It's like rolling up his sleeve. He's going to show his muscles. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure. You will carry the articles of the Lord's house, but you will not leave in haste or go in flight. For the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. It's a powerful word of God. The context, I've already briefly stated it, the people are in bondage in Assyria. They have no hope. While they're there, the God of the nation of Israel is being blasphemed. The people act godless because they are godless. They ridicule God. They ridicule the nation. But in the midst of that, God shows up and says, rejoice now. Rejoice now for what I'm about to do. And what I'm about to do is to set you free. Not only now, but there's a prophetic significance even beyond that, looking toward the Lord's second coming. He says, rejoice now. And what should we do in preparation for that? We rejoice because the scripture says that he will go before you. He will be your rear guard. And with that in mind, depart from all the unclean things and live pure. That's what I want to talk about today. God will be before you. God will guard your rear behind you. And while he does that, live for him. Be obedient. Number one, the future. Look ahead with hope. The Lord will go before you. Remember back as in my childhood years, as a kid, things get magnified. And I remember a few promises, a few situations in life that didn't come to pass the way I thought they should. And that kind of started to breed a nervousness and an apprehension about the next promise. I mean, we all get that, right? One promise gets broken, you start to doubt the next promise. And I kind of started to live that way. So anytime a promise was made, I would on purpose not get too excited for fear that that excitement would be somehow ruined and the promise wouldn't come about. Just about that time in my growing up years, the song "The Cat's in the Cradle" became popular. Remember that song? I remember it now. Hearing it for the first time, and it penetrated. It's a really powerful song about growing up and how you live your life and how it can go for full circle. If you don't know the song I'm referring to, look it up. And the words are very, very powerful. And so it made me think about being a dad and being a husband and living my life in a way that's preparing for the future. Well, you know, I've no longer doubted and become apprehensive about promises because I've learned this about God. Although the promises might look different or the outcome of them might look different than I thought, God's promises are always sure. Every time. I can trust him. I can trust his word. I can trust what he's promised. I can trust what he's planned for me. And here's what he's planned for us in 2019 and going forward. He's planned that he will be with us every single day. And when God is with us, there is nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to worry about. It doesn't say it's going to be easy, but he said he'd be with us wherever we are. The storm may come while we're in the boat, but he's going to be in our boat. So don't fear. Don't worry. Don't grow anxious about tomorrow. Don't grow anxious about what's going to happen. God will be with you. He has got your future. He is going before you already in preparation. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 10 says this, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Isn't that a powerful passage? Can you say that with me? It's in your notes if you didn't get it by memory. It's in your notes. Say it with me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Can you even imagine that? Well, no, we can't, because Scripture said your mind can't conceive it. So if I said, can you imagine? No, we can't imagine it. It's nothing we've seen before. It's nothing we've heard before. Our brains can't even imagine what God has prepared. Completely out of any ability of any person, no matter how creative or wild their thoughts are, to even glimpse what God has prepared. Church, I don't know what's going to happen in 2019. Here's what I know. The God who's prepared my future, who has said, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind can conceive, that's the God who's with me. So we can go forth in boldness. I love John 14, 2-3. It's become a passage that has gotten inside me. You know those certain verses that just get inside of you? And they kind of just become the ones you just live on. This one I've been living on for quite a while. John chapter 14, 2-3. Jesus said, after he's told the disciples, I'm going to go away. I'm going back to the Father. You're not going to see me anymore. And they freaked out. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean you're going to leave? What do you mean? What are we going to do? How's it going to work? And Jesus said, whoa, 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 time out. Chapter 14, verse 2. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Don't let your heart be troubled. That's a choice. Don't let it. Are our hearts tempted to become troubled about the future? What's going to happen with our politics? What's going to happen with our nation? What's going to happen with our worldview? What's going to happen? Well, oh, no, I don't know. What's going to happen with the market? What's going to happen with my finances? I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, no. Don't let your heart be troubled. It's a choice. Trust in God. The God who said, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what he has prepared for his people. Trust that God. Don't let your heart be troubled. It's a choice. Man, it's tempting. You feel like kind of a yo-yo sometimes. Like, oh, my heart's troubled. Wait a minute, don't let it bounce back up. Then next day, oh, my heart's troubled. I'll bounce back up. And that's the way it feels sometimes. That you catch yourself getting troubled. And then you say, wait a minute, no. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to live in joy. Because he's got my future. He's gone before me. He will always be there. If my future was in the hand of the politicians, I'd let my heart be troubled. If my future was in the hand of bosses, I'd let my heart be troubled. If my future was in the hands of our economy, I'd let my heart be troubled. If my future was in the hand of the housing market, I'd let my heart be troubled. But it's not. Your future is in the hands of the Almighty God. Don't let your heart be troubled. That's the word for this next year, church. Don't let it. We're going to live a Bible-first lifestyle next year. And we're going to learn the promises of God over and over and over again. And learning that will instill in us the faith to not let our hearts be troubled. Because Romans 10 says, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. You need greater faith to not let your heart be troubled. We're going to get it next year because we're going to fill ourselves with his word and we're going to feed and we're going to ingest. It's going to become part of our fabric. And every part of us is going to just swell with the power of the word of God. So we won't let our hearts be troubled because we're going to be trusting in God. Number one, the future. God has gone before us so we can hope. The active part, don't let your heart be troubled. God's gone before you. Number two. The past, no looking back. The Lord will guard you from the rear. The Lord will guard you. The past is a sneaky attacker, isn't it? Isn't it a sneaky attacker? It comes up on you. Says, remember when? Remember when? Remember when? Remember that pain? Remember that regret? Remember that backstab? Remember that broken promise? Remember that unjust treatment? Remember all that? Remember all that? And it just sneaks up on you and it's got sharp claws and it tries to dig into your flesh and just drag you back down from the hope that God has implanted in you. Some of you have really, really bad memories of last year. You do. You have bad memories because there were hurts. There were pains. We've done a few funerals here. We've lost some people and it hurts. We grieve. And that's all normal. And it's normal to be working through that. Some of us have had our trust violated. Some of us have had layoffs. Some of us have had all kinds of different things that have occurred. And you're still hurting because of that. It's understandable. God says, don't pretend that it didn't happen. But he says, listen, I'm going to guard you from the rear. I'm going to be there for you. And there's another kind of grip that the past gets into us. Not just the pains, but some of us kind of look back fondly of the past and we want to live in it. We want to remember the good old days and remember the way it used to be and we want to be there and it makes us discontent for today because it's not like it used to be. And especially as you grow older, you start to pine for the way it used to be. You pine for when you were thinner. You pine for when you had hair. You long for when you had more energy. You watch your children grow up and your grandchildren grow up and you see that there's more time that's in the past than is in your future. And it starts to weigh on your heart and it can easily make you discouraged. There's also a different kind of pining for the future, and that's the pining for the old life. Some of us, even in this room this morning, maybe you've left a life of sin, but for some reason, there's some parts of that old life of sin that you still kind of miss. That there's still a little bit of an affection for the old way. The old excitement. The old, energy burst or the old high. And it starts to claw at you as there's that affection. Remember Lot's wife? As they ran away from Sodom and Gomorrah when the fire came down to destroy those cities? And they all ran away, but Lot's wife had an affection for the old life. And she turned around with an affectionate kind of, I miss you, look, and she died. She turned into that pillar of salt. She died because she looked back and pined for the things of the past. That's why I like the calling of Elisha from Elijah. When that mantle transitioned from the one great prophet to the next great prophet. When Elijah called his apprentice, he called him alongside. And what did Elisha do? He was a farmer. He took his plow and he took the animals and he burned them up. And that was a symbolic act saying, I'm not going back there. I'm going a different direction now. The past has lots of different ways to claw at us and to bring us back. One of the most difficult counseling situations that I run into from time to time is when a young person, a teenager or a young person, have had their first sexual experience, but it's outside of marriage. And they come in and they have a conversation and they're devastated. They wanted to keep their virginity for their spouse and now they can't get it back. And the young girls are usually in tears, and the boys too, as now they feel sullied. They feel as if they violated God's word. They violated their future hopes and dreams by exercising that too soon. And you can't get it back. And it's so hard to work through them because you can't reverse it. What's done is done. Can I read you a passage of what God says about the past? Jeremiah 3, verse 3 to 4, he says this. I have love for you with an everlasting love. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. He says, I have love for you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, O virgin Israel. That's a powerful passage. Why is that so powerful? Because God often calls himself, he calls the nation of Israel or the church his bride. And when you violate God's word, he calls that adultery. Or when you worship other gods as Israel did, he calls that adultery. When you commit adultery, you can't uncommit adultery. What's done is done. You can't reverse that. But God is saying to the nation of Israel, I have drawn you to myself. I love you with an everlasting love. And he calls them virgin Israel. Can I tell you this morning, church, no matter where you've been, no matter what sin you've committed, no matter how long you've strayed, God has the power to restore your purity again. God has the ability to restore your virginity again in a spiritual sense. He calls you pure when you know you're not pure. That's how strong, that's how magnificent, that's how cleansing his grace and mercy is. He treats us just as if we were pure. Just as if we were that virgin bride. We look back to the book of Hosea, and he commands Gomer, the prophet, or rather Hosea the prophet, to go to Gomer, and she prostitutes herself. And God tells Hosea, go get her again, go get her again, go get her again. Treat her as if she's your virgin bride. If you're weighed down by the guilt of 2018, can I just tell you that your virginity is as present as a confession? As soon as you confess and repent, God restores you. It's the enemy that will continue to remind you that you're not worthy. That's the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation is that constant nagging, taloned scratch at your back that says, you're not worthy, you're no good, God doesn't want you, God can't use you, God is unhappy with you, God is mad, you've wasted yourself, you've wasted your opportunity, you've wasted your gift, you're useless now. And that is satanic and it's a lie. Because God says you're a virgin, Israel, you're a virgin, church, and he wants to restore and bring you back again. We're to learn from the past. We don't forget it. Hopefully we'll learn from it. But we know that God's powerful grace has restored us to move on and to move on in glory. Psalm 103, verse 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east is from the west? Really, really far. Remember your math? Martin, help us out here in the math. like that line with the two points on it, right? And one part is going that way, one part, and they don't meet. They go on forever away from each other. That's how far your sin God has separated from you. Some might be pining for the past and wanting to live in it. Some might be pining for the past because there's a little bit of affection for that old life. A lot of us are probably living with a pressure, with a guilt. The Lord God says, I've got your back. I got your back. Let it go. Let's move forward. You're still mine. You're my precious. You're my virgin. I want to pause right now. I feel the Lord is just saying, let's deal with this now. Right here and now. If there are those of you this morning that are saying, I need God to give me a fresh start. And I need God to set me on a path that He's blazing the trail of my future. I want to head into 2019 with joy, with confidence, with courage, knowing full well that not one of us is perfect. And yes, by the time January 2nd rolls around, we might have already, you know, had a problem. And then we'll say, oh, the year's shot now. I already messed it up. No, you get back up and you move on. And you get back up and you move on again. And you get back up and you move on again. That's how you learn to walk. And pretty soon you'll learn how to run. So fun to watch my brand new grandson learn how to walk. He took his first 4 steps. It's awesome. But you know what? He fell down a whole ton the last few months. Learning how to get there. If you don't ever get up and go again, you'll never walk. We got to get up and go again. Who's ready to get up? Can we pray right now? And I'm going to pray a prayer over us. And if you're sitting here this morning saying, I need a fresh start. I believe God's got my future. He's blazing the trail. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. But my past is gnawing at me. I need to let that go and get rid of it. God has forgiven it. He's made me pure. I need to move forward. Let's pause and pray right now, shall we? Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray over this church family. And I ask you, Lord, that you would fill their hearts with strength, with courage, and with faith to believe you really, really have forgiven them. You really have wiped the slate clean, called us virgins again, and have separated our sin as far as the east is from the west. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit's omnipotent power would give us the courage to not let our hearts be troubled, but to go forth with joy, to let go of the past. 2018 is gone. It's not coming back. There were some good things that happened. Praise God. There's going to be some good things happen next year too. Father, things like we've never seen. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to let go, to stop listening to the lies of the condemning devil, and only listen to the truth of the convicting Holy Spirit, that we might walk in a way that's worthy of your name. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The present, the past, leave it behind. No turning back. The future, go forward with hope. He's got your front. He's going to be there. Don't let your heart be troubled. The present, look only to Jesus. The Lord commands obedience and purity. The future and the past, you really can't do anything about them. You can prepare for the future. Can't do much about the past. Let it go. Can't change them. They're out of your control. But God says, take care of your todays. Take care of your moments right now. Take care of your thoughts right now. Take care of your decisions right now. Take care of what you let into your mind right now. Take care of what you let out of your mouth right now. Take care of that now. That Isaiah passage says, depart. Depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure. You who carry the articles of the Lord's house. Do you know who carries the articles of the Lord's house? You do, because he calls you the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the Lord's house. You're carrying the articles in your body. You who carry the presence of the Lord God, touch no unclean thing. Go out and be separate. Be pure. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. That comes from a story when the prophet Samuel told Saul, under the command of the Lord, go and attack the Amalekites. They're impure. They're ungodly. They've resisted God. You need to wipe everything out. Everything. Animals, everything. Everything has to go. Clean it out. And Saul did that, except he kept the king alive and he kept all the choice produce, or lambs and cows and so on. He kept all the best. And when Samuel approached him, he said, what are you doing? You didn't obey the Lord. And Saul said, no, I did obey the Lord. I did exactly what he said. I'm going to destroy these, but I'm going to sacrifice them to the Lord. And Samuel said, no, you did not obey. And then Saul gave in and said, well, yeah, you're right. I was afraid. The men wanted them, and I thought they were going to rebel. And the excuses always come out. They always get revealed. And that's when Samuel said, Saul, because you violated God's word, you cannot be king anymore. Because you don't obey. You don't listen. And that's what he said. To obey is better than sacrifice. Church, it doesn't matter how much we do religious things if we're not living in obedience daily. It doesn't matter. Oh, I come to church all the time, but between the Sundays, it's a different life. It doesn't matter. You don't get extra points. God doesn't have a score sheet. It's not like a set of scales where we put, oh, he's been to church X amount of times, gave him the offering, gave the missions, served on a team. Oh, that weighs the scales. Oh, but I did these sins. Well, that kind of balances. I'm good, right? God doesn't work that way. He calls us to die to the things of the flesh so that there is no balancing. Come out. Be pure. To obey is better than sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. What we've got is today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the day of the Lord's favor. There is no other day. You don't have December 31st. You have December 30th right now. You don't have December 29th. It's gone. It's over. You have now. What are we going to do now? What we do now is depart from every unclean thing. What we do now is keep our mind pure. What we do now is make a decision to serve the Lord. Because otherwise, we will die. It's just the truth. Because the wages of sin is death. Always is, always will be. You can try to trick your mind. You can try to block it out. You can try to do whatever you want. You will feel the consequences of sin because the devil doesn't care about you. Now is the day. Now is the time. We're not talking about New Year's resolutions. We're talking about a complete lifestyle overhaul from now until the time we see Jesus face to face. A Bible first lifestyle. A God's word inside of us lifestyle that burns and that we hunger and that we yearn for. What in your life today needs to be changed? I'm not talking about a resolution. I'm not talking about, oh, I'm going to eat more broccoli this year. I'm talking about a spiritual lifestyle change that will put you in a place to not let your heart be troubled and to let go of the past, but to live today touching no unclean thing, to live in the fear and awe of the Lord. How are we going to make that decision today? Choose. Choose, the scripture says. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. As for abundant life, let's serve the Lord in 2019. Amen. 2018's gone. Before we're going to blink our eyes and we're going to be here in 2019. I guarantee it. You're going to blink your eyes. It'll be the last Sunday of 2019. And I hope when we get there in 1 year, we won't be living with regrets. But instead, we'll be living with victorious joys. Say, look what God did. Just like he promised. He said he'd go before us. And he will. He said we could leave our past behind. And we did. Let's go out with joy. For how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Let's bring good news everywhere we go this year. Don't let your heart be troubled. Leave the past behind. And let's obey with purity and holiness this year. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this last Sunday of the year. It's been a good year. for Abundant Lifers. The world has seen better years, I think. It's been a bit crazy out there. But Lord, you're not far off. You're not somewhere else. You're right here. You're with us. Thank you for your encouragement, God, that you will go before us, so don't let our hearts be troubled. You will be our rear guard, so we can let go of the past. Just learn from it. And while we do, we touch no unclean thing. For we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for your word today. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Let's stand together. Pastor Sean's going to close us off in a worship song. But let's finish the year in prayer. The prayer partners are going to gather in the front as we close with this song. And as they do, I'd like to invite you, if you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior yet, and maybe that's one of the thoughts that you've had as you go into a new year. You've been intending to. Oh, it's something you want to get around to, but yet you've been just held back. Why not today? Why not start a new year living for the Lord God? Come and pray. Join one of these couples. Pray with them. Get right with God today. There's lots of folks that need healing. Let's pray until we get that healing. Let's pray. God's moving. Whatever it is you might have in your life, pray. Let's seek the God who's got our future and wiping out our past. We can rejoice in that. All right, so let's worship. Prayer partners, come. And as we close, come and pray. If you got to go, God bless you and see you next year.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.